Amen. If you're with us for the first time, this is the last of our theme for new creation. So the first week, we went through the concept of a new creation and living as a new creation. And the second week, we went through the role of Scripture in that and pointing out the areas where God wants to deal with us and build in us and lead us to strength. And then last week, Veronica shared a message on discovering a purpose in that new creation and what God has designed you for. Today, we want to talk about a new creation afterlife. And maybe for many of you, we don't quite preach about heaven a lot. We talk about God and in our lives and what he can do for us and who he makes us and changes us. And we kind of focus on the now, but I wanted you to lift your eyes today so that we'll focus on the future. But first, of course, a story. Always a story. So this week I was in Sydney, and when I'm in Sydney with my boss for work, we work out together at he's got a gym membership where he can bring a friend, all right? Really great gym membership that I don't have. So I get this free gym membership. I get to rock up to the gym with him for free. It's great. But we went to the gym and we're doing his exercises, not mine. It's just a little bit different. Nice time to hang around. But there's this guy on the lat pull-down machine. Now, I totally understand that that might be lingo, so I'm going to explain to you. It's basically a pull-up, except you're sitting down and you're locked into a machine, and so you can do more than your body weight. You can pull right through like a pull-up to do more than your body weight. And this guy had the machine maxed out. Like, there was no possible more weight that he could have lifted than what was on this machine. Like, the machine is got all the stacked weights and he's right down the bottom and he's doing the whole thing. And my boss turns to me, he's like, "Did you see that? Like, that's massive. Like, this guy," I said, "Yeah, man, like, I don't understand. He's not that big. Like, the dude wasn't a massive bodybuilder or anything. Like, he's not that big, but man, is this guy strong." And my boss turns to me and he goes, "What do you do once you've maxed out the machine? Like, at that point, you've clocked life." It's like, "You've clocked life. You, what do you do? Are you supposed to get weaker from there? Like, or are you supposed to go to another gym or like what, play a different game? Like, you just decide on, I'm going to go and do something else with my life now. I've finished this thing. Like, what do you do once you're at the maximum? You've clocked life." Now, for those of us that are in that right age group, you'll know what that adjective clock is. However, for those of you that don't know what that means, you're sitting there going, "What do you mean clock life? Those things don't work. Like, that doesn't make sense." So when you clock a video game, it means that you've completed the video game. You've done all of the things that were to do in that video game. And so there's nothing left. You've completed it. Your only option is to hit the reset button and start again and do it all over the same. And so what does it look like? It got me thinking and playing with this idea of what does it look like to actually clock life? What would it look like to complete it? What happens when life on earth is finished? When there's nothing more? What happens at the end? We're going to read John chapter 3, verse 16 through to 21. And I want to encourage you, this is the other part of the service where it's appropriate to pull out your phone. If you have a digital Bible, if you have a physical Bible, like some of the kids in the front row, I love that. That's great. If you have a physical Bible, you know, you're probably more holy than I am. I only have the digital one. That's not true. Kate bought me a massive, like really thick, massive study Bible, and I've opened it once. Awesome. Hey, how good? How good? This one fits in my pocket, okay? Sorry. And then Ken shouts from the back, "Yeah, the Gideon's one will fit in your pocket too." Anyway, that's all right. Cool. John 3:16-21, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send him, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever loves whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Rescued from eternal condemnation through faith in Jesus Christ. See, when we die, this earthly body will be dead. But there's an eternity afterwards. And right here, as clear as possible, it says that because when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are rescued from the eternal condemnation, that is, distance from God and eternity away from Him. We're rescued from that into eternal life. Eternal life promised to all of those who believe. But what does eternal life look like? See, I'm sure you've watched movies and you've watched TV and you've seen the pearly gates and you've seen the golden streets and you've seen the images of what man thinks that heaven looks like. But when we die, what happens? What happens to this body? What happens to our spirit? What happens when we die? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, he's not actually talking about tents here, okay? I'm not talking about tents. If you're living in a tent, please come and see us. We'd love to help you. But we're talking here, it's the earthly tent is our bodies. The earthly tent we live in is destroyed. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. A new body, an entirely new creation, hopefully with hair. An entirely new creation. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, this earthly body, we groan and we're burdened because we don't wish to be unclothed, but clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal might be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For if we live by faith, not by sight, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us, the things done in the body, whether good or bad. We groan, longing for the perfect replacement body. Everyone over 30 groans getting up out of bed. Amen? You probably even groan when you get up out of the seat after this message. Your knees pop and your shoulders pop and your back pops 5 times and we groan. See, but this current body is subject to death. This current body it's getting worse. I'd like to say it's getting better, but it's not. It's getting worse. The current body is subject because of sin. It's subject to death. It is the consequence. The natural consequence of sin is that I will die one day. See, the eternal consequence of sin was paid for on the cross, but the earthly consequence remains. See, we still live subject to death. And this is what is talked about in Scripture here, is that an actual real perspective of when I die, it's better for me. When I die is better for me. No more pops and bangs and crackles, not in my car, in my body, right? No more groans. Not just the physical pain, but the spiritual pain, the feeling disconnected from God and all of the things that we deal with and the emotional stress and trauma, all gone. Because God already has a new body ready for you. One without sin. One without the failures and subject to death, already for us. But how good here that when writing this, there's such a great perspective of what life can be like today in light of this revelation. In light of, hey, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to get a new body and all of this is going to go and that's okay because I'm excited to go. How do we live in that? We have the Holy Spirit to guide and empower us. But it says here as a deposit. Who knows that when you leave a deposit, there's still more to pay, right? When you leave a deposit on a house, you still got more to pay. Like maybe 30 years more to pay, right? Yeah, Arun just goes, oh. He's just slowly crying in the front row. Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. Is it? When you leave a deposit, there's more to pay. So the Holy Spirit is left as a deposit, but it's going to get even better in heaven. The fullness comes. The Holy Spirit can guide and empower us and help us to do God's will on earth and build in us this new creation and identify these areas that we need to fix up that God says, okay, cool, I'm identifying that, surrender it to me and live by faith in this area. And God will do that and the Holy Spirit will work with us and empower us. But that's not the full promise. What do you mean? That's amazing. On its own, if that was the full promise, how good? But it's not. But wait, there's more. I know it was weird saying that from the platform. It gets better for 5 easy repayments of... No. We get the promise of a sinless life in eternity. I want that sinless life now. And this is the perspective. This is the perspective written is I want that sinless life now. Right now, I've got groans and pops and bangs and crackles and I want that sinless life now. I've got the deposit, awesome. Holy Spirit, guide me and lead me. But if I die tomorrow, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. That sounds weird though, doesn't it? See, we live... If we catch this revelation that we really are going to heaven, that heaven will be totally sinless and totally in relationship with God as it was planned, when we recognize that, let's go. That's better. We live in a confidence that comes as a result of knowing that it is a preferred place to be in heaven. Living for God now, empowered by the Holy Spirit now, as much as possible, longing for the fullness of the promise. We live now by the power of the Holy Spirit, but man, it's only getting better from here. And all the old people said amen, and all the young people still struggling with this revelation. No? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through to 7, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" Wow, what a picture of heaven. What a great picture of heaven. That God will be with his people even more so than he is today. And the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, but like the Garden of Eden, walking hand in hand with God. That he will wipe our tears and there will be no death, no mourning, no sickness, no shame, nothing. Absolute perfection. And he says with the seal of I am the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end, it is already done. That promise is so solid. Even better than living with God now, heaven will be. So what does it look like to live a life in light of that revelation? That revelation of your secured salvation. Well, Paul, he's got this great perspective. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 26, this perfect culmination of the revelation of his salvation, and he knows where he's going, and he knows that it's better than where he is now, and he's like, just let's go. He's, you know, he's that Shia LaBeouf meme. Let's go. Let's do it. He's ready. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Today, I want to be entirely surrendered to God as in every way I possibly can be, and he's forming in me a new creation and all of the rest of it, but to die is gain. For if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Great. Awesome. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul here saying to the Philippians church, I'm only here. You're stopping me from getting into heaven. That's not really what he's saying. It's better, like for now, if I'm here, I'm only here because Jesus wants me to do something now in this time. But when he's done with that purpose and when he's done with whatever I want, whatever he wants me to do, then woohoo, let's go. I'm ready. That's better by far. I'm preferred. Let's go. Bus, come and hit me. No, I'm joking. Oh, whoa. But Paul's like, I'm ready. Let's go. Whatever, whenever. And God, if you want me to stay, then just tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. It's totally surrendered today with this great hope to be with God even closer. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. So even when I'm here and I'm doing whatever I'm doing and serving by God, it's not that I would be glorified, it's that God would be glorified. So whilst he's still got a purpose in me and he still wants to use me, I'm here. And the moment he doesn't want to use me anymore, let's go, I'm out. That's the perspective. What an amazing perspective to have. Do we live our lives in that perspective? Do we live our daily lives of God, do whatever you want to do within me? And if you're ready, let's go. Come on. Are you ready yet? God, are we ready yet? Can I go yet? Oh, you still got me to do stuff? Okay, we'll do all of this. You be glorified, God. But, you know, can you come now? Jesus, come back. It's this heart of being drawn to a greater relationship, to a greater level of service, to his mission on earth as the number one thing. It will lead us into a more surrendered life now. in light of knowing that our salvation is going to be even better, it gives us a perspective of today, and our lives now are small in the grand scheme of eternity. And so with this time that is so precious, that might feel like a long time. I know I'm only 34, but it feels like a long time because my kids are in high school. Like, it feels like I'm old, and the pops and bangs and groans, and it feels old. But this is only such a small time in the grand scheme of eternity. And so with this precious time, I will serve God. With this precious time, the most important thing I can possibly do is serve Him even more. A greater level of generosity, a greater level of telling people about Jesus, a greater level of building people in their faith, a greater level of challenging people to grow and know the Lord and know this great joy that I've found. See, when we are saved and we know that we have that deposit that is with us, that the Holy Spirit is moving us and guiding us and changing us and building in us a new creation, and we are so eagerly awaiting to be with God, it means that today is so precious and I have to serve Him. I have to serve Him even more. Do what you want with me, God, now, but I'm ready to go whenever. I want to encourage you. I'm going to read back that John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yes, our salvation is sealed and totally done at faith. At faith in Jesus Christ and choosing to believe in Him, we are saved for eternity. But it will change us. In light of that salvation, we will only want to serve Him more. And so I want to encourage you that the best thing you can ever do with your life is choose to believe in Jesus. Choose to start a relationship with Jesus, or if you've already started that relationship, get closer. Get closer. Serve Him more. Surrender more. And one day, it'll be even better. But in light of that, we surrender more. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you've never made that decision before to follow God, to choose to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to accept the punishment that He took on your behalf, that beautiful exchange, that He would take the punishment that we deserved so that we could be seen as perfect by God and accepted and have our salvation. If you've never made that decision today, I want to encourage you to make that decision. If you want to do that, would you do something brave? Everyone's got their eyes closed. Everyone's got their head bowed. But if that's you and you want to make that decision, would you raise your hand? Because I'd love to know just who I'm praying for. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. We're all going to pray this prayer together just to back you up so that you know that there is heaps of people here that love you and care for you and want to make this decision and want to celebrate this decision with you. So would you repeat after me? Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Would you start a relationship with me today that would be the mark of my life forever on? Holy Spirit, dwell inside of me, speak to me, and let your voice be the loudest voice. Today I choose to live for you. Amen. Awesome. For that person, I would love to encourage you. We're going to get you a Bible and get some people around you to pray with you and help you out and start that journey. For those of us that have made that decision before, I want to encourage you this week, this month, as we go, this theme, it should change us. It should change us not because we want to change, but because in light of salvation, in light of what God's done for us, all we want is to surrender. And I hope that you would go with a perspective that this time on earth is God's time and I want to give that all to Him. But I'm not fearful of death. And like Paul, I'm looking forward to it. For me to die is gain. And I hope that you would live with such a courage that comes from that. Such a courage to share your faith with others. Such a courage to pray with other people. To just go, I know that in eternity, that I'm coming for eternity. So God, do what you want to do with me right now. And let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into each and every day. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us through this theme. The work that you're changing in us. And God, I pray that each and every person will go out with a new courage to share the gospel, a new courage to love, a new courage to serve you. God, that there will be any fear of death, fear of all of this is just gone in Jesus' name. We pray that it is gone in Jesus' name and that we will live in light of our salvation to know that our purpose on earth is to serve you and God, that we eagerly await to be with you in heaven. In your mighty, wonderful name, amen. Amen.